If you will go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians. Once again, it's a pleasure to see all of y'all here. Hope that the Lord blesses us communally together as we are in the presence of God and meditate on this passage of Scripture. Galatians chapter 1, and we will be reading from that passage of Scripture, from that chapter, verses 6 through 12. Galatians 1, 6 through 12, the word of the Lord says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come before you once again this morning. We come before you seeing the preciousness of the message of grace, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see what a serious business it is to alter and to change that gospel in any way. We pray, O God, that we would not seek to be men pleasers, but we would seek to please you through the preaching of the gospel of grace in such a way to be faithful to you, in such a way that salvation comes to those that hear and to those that preach through Jesus Christ. We pray once again that the Spirit of Christ would be present to convict of sin, to glorify Christ, to draw sinners to Christ, and to build up the saints, to maintain and to strengthen faith and repentance. It is in Christ's blessed name that we come before you, seeking for him to be glorified this morning through the preaching of your word, through the hearing of it as well. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, we see that Paul is worried about a situation among the Galatian believers. As we spoke last week, there were those who were Judaizers who were seeking to pervert the gospel, and they were perverting it in a very subtle way. They were just slightly adding just a little bit to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ as presented in the gospel. What they were trying to do is to tell the brethren in Galatia that Christ is great, he is glorious, he's the Messiah. But in order to be a part of God's covenant community, in order to be saved, you have to be circumcised and you have to keep the law of Moses. We can see this throughout the letter to the Galatians. We can see hints to that in Paul's language, in the way that he speaks, the doctrines that he presents. We can see that the person of Christ is not defamed in any way. Paul doesn't have to defend Christ's divinity here. He doesn't have to defend that Christ is the Messiah. But what he does defend is adding to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that is not the gospel of God. That is another gospel. We also have a hint of what was going on in Acts chapter 15. I would actually like for you to go ahead and go to that passage of Scripture as we take a look just for a few moments what the Judaizers were doing generally. Acts chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. As you see, the central doctrinal question, the theme of this discussion was, is it necessary to be circumcised and to keep the law, the rituals of Moses, in order to be saved? Here we see throughout this passage of Scripture how the apostles themselves debate the question and what conclusion they come to according to the guidance of the Scriptures and the lead of the Holy Spirit and sound doctrine in their lives. I just want to take a quick look at what decision they had made, and then I want to go back to Galatians and just take a look at how Paul defended his gospel there in Galatians chapter 1. As we look at the apostles' conclusion in Acts chapter 15, their conclusion must be our conclusion as well. Paul and Barnabas arrive to Jerusalem. They give their report about how their missionary work among the Gentiles, among the non-Jews, had gone. And then in verse 5 of Acts chapter 15, we see, "But some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up, saying, 'It is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses.'" The decision that they made was not to trouble the Gentile brethren with these things. As we see in verses 19 and 20, this is James speaking, "Therefore it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles, but that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols and from fornication and from what is strangled and from blood." They did not want to put the Gentiles back under the law of Moses to seek their salvation through law. The question is, why? Throughout this discourse, in that chunk that we kind of skipped over from verse 5 to 19, we see two of the apostles speak at least. We see Peter speak, and then we see James speak. Peter says, "God has not only chosen that the gospel be preached among the Gentiles, but also that the Gentiles believe." That was one of Peter's reasoning for not putting the yoke of the law of Moses on the Gentile believers. Another thing was that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been given to them. Their hearts had been purified by faith. He also makes mention that salvation comes through grace and not through rituals. And then James stands up among them, and what he does is confirm Peter's reasoning with a passage from the prophets. And after that, James says, "Therefore it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles." And Peter had already said before, "Let us not take the disciples and place upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear." What they were saying through all this is that for us to tell the Gentiles that they had to be circumcised and that they had to keep the laws and the rituals of Moses and at the same time believe in Christ was the same thing as telling them that they're saved by works. And so they said, "We will not trouble them with these things." that was their decision. Paul, we can say in Galatians, in some way is defending that decision. There's no need to add to Christ. Christ is enough. It's not Christ plus circumcision plus the rituals of the law of Moses. And we'll apply that to our context here in a minute. It's Christ. What does Paul say in Galatians chapter 1? Here he's talking, we can see, about adding to the gospel things that are not meant to be added. The gospel is sufficient. And so what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1:6 is, I am amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Changing the gospel, adding to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to actually turn our back on God and believe in a different or in another gospel. Paul says, adding to the gospel is the same as deserting God Himself. God is the one that has called you by grace in His Son. And if you add anything else to the gospel that I've preached to you, you're deserting God. The message of the gospel, as we saw quickly last week, is that all of salvation is found in Christ. All of salvation is through Him and it is for Him. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins for the specific purpose of rescuing us from this present evil age. The purpose of the gospel is to bring about a new creation. And so Christ died to forgive our sins in such a way as to rescue us from the old creation, from our sin, and from all that sin had contaminated in the first creation. It's very possible that Paul is referring to much more, but for the moment, that's what we're going to consider. God, through the forgiveness that Christ bought on the cross, forgives us and makes us part of the new creation through the resurrection in Christ. That is salvation. Plus nothing, minus nothing. If we add something more, we're saying that Christ is not sufficient. We're going back to the old age, to the old creation, instead of living according to the gospel and the new creation. It is God that has given us this way of salvation. To choose another way of salvation is to desert God Himself. Christ is enough. Another thing that Paul tells to us here in his defense of the gospel, in those few short words in verse 7, not that there's another gospel. So he said, I'm amazed at how so quickly you're turning or you're deserting the one who's called you through the grace of Christ to another gospel. And then he kind of backtracks, not that there is another gospel. There are not several ways to heaven. There are not several different gospels. There's one gospel message. And if that message is distorted, if we add something to it or if we take something from it, it is a perversion of the gospel in such a way that we can say it is not a gospel. The gospel, once again, is the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of His death, burial, resurrection, and His intercession at the right hand of the Father. The gospel is a message of sovereign grace that is preached to sinners that outside of this gospel have no hope of pardon, have no hope of salvation. Would it, think of it this way, would it have truly been good news for Paul to come and to preach, Christ died for our sins, come and receive this forgiveness, but by the way, don't forget to be circumcised, and don't forget to keep all of these rituals that Moses, that God had given Moses in the law, that would not have been grace, that would not have been good news. Remember the words of Peter in Acts chapter 15. Now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through grace, through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they are. And as Paul says in another place, in the new creation, Christ is all, and He is in all. A question for you this morning. A question for you today. Is Christ your all? Is He sufficient to forgive? Is He sufficient to justify? Is He sufficient to sanctify? If we seek salvation, 99% in Christ and 1% in something else, it's a different gospel. And that is actually a rejection of Christ and a rejection of God, as Paul lays down here. Today, nobody's running around saying, believe in Christ and be circumcised to be saved. But here in a few moments, we'll apply this to our cultural context. Paul proclaims, one more word and then we'll go to that application. Paul proclaims that those that preach a different gospel, those that add to the gospel works of the law, are under God's curse, is what he's saying. What he's talking about is eternal punishment. The wrath of God is upon them. He's not here talking about any kind of a physical curse. It's the curse of being under God's wrath and eternal judgment. I believe that that is very clear from our context. So we'll go on to an application of this to our context. As far as a direct application, there is teaching that we're justified by faith, but then we must be sanctified by the law. That's actually the way I thought about it before. There's thinking that we begin by faith and then we end by works. We begin by faith and then we have to leave Christ and go to our own self in order to achieve some way of sanctification. Now, sanctification is a part of our salvation. That's not even to be discussed. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. But we will never be able to be holy through the law or by the law. It is only by gospel. It is only by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. The commandments of God, yes, they give us direction. Yes, they teach us what loving our neighbor is. Yes, they teach us what pleases God. But the gospel is what comes with power and grace to change us and to make us holy. Once again, nobody is running around in churches today saying, believe in Christ the Messiah and be circumcised in order to be saved. But there is, in some camps, a slight twisting of the gospel message which tends to add works to our justification before God. What do I mean by justification before God? I mean our forgiveness and our righteousness before the holiness of God. That's what justification is. Justification is a declaration. So-and-so is righteous in my sight. And in some camps, it's called the new perspective of Paul. And I'm not an expert on this kind of stuff. I'm just beginning to read a little bit about it to know how to try to stir away from those kind of teachings. But there is in a very subtle way a slipping in of our works to be righteous before God. And I don't want to say anything else about it because I don't want to, like I say, I'm not an expert and I don't want to twist what they're saying. But at the same time, we must be careful. Because it's not even the works that we do after being converted to Christ, not even those works justify us. Not even those works keep us justified before God. It is Christ, and it is Christ alone. It is only His righteousness. It is only by His cross that we are declared righteous in the presence of a holy God. There's a temptation to turn our own works into our own saviors. And this can be in many different ways. And even in many different ways in our lives, Luther would say we have a tendency to go back to the law constantly to try to, by the law, be justified in the sight of God. We have to be constantly reminded, and may the Spirit impress it upon our hearts, that before a holy God, our works do not justify us. It is only by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to now make some applications to guide our walk in Christ. Paul here in this passage that we've read doesn't say do this, but there are certain things or certain clues that arise from here that he confirms in other parts of his writings or even in this letter. First of all, Christ must be supreme. If Christ is not supreme, we will be tempted to add something to the gospel. Christ must be glorious in our eyes. And I wish I had the words to paint such a glorious picture of Christ where that impression would be left on your soul, but I don't have those words. God coming into this world that He has made to redeem rebellious sinners, the same creatures that had sinned against Him and His goodness. He comes into their world to take on their flesh and to die in their place. There's never been a story told like that story. The greatest of all is that it's true. And Paul says, if you don't believe me, then there's 500 other people, go and ask them, that have seen the risen Christ. He is glorious. Paul in the book of Galatians, in the book of Colossians, paints such a glorious picture of Christ. He sets Christ as the head of all creation, everything being made through Christ and for Christ. And then he paints the picture of Christ being the head of the church through resurrection. So Christ is the head of the old creation, and Christ is the head of the new creation. He is glorious. We don't have to add anything before God. Why would we bring anything else to be righteous in His sight besides what such a glorious Savior has done? if Christ is not supreme, will fall into the trap of preaching a different gospel. And as we saw last week, once again, the subject of the gospel is Christ. As Paul says in Romans chapter 1, the gospel of God concerning His Son. The gospel of God concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of God is about and all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ must be supreme in our presentation of the gospel. Christ must be supreme when we meditate on the gospel and when we go to contemplate how we are to be righteous before a holy God. No one else must come into the picture but Christ and Christ alone. He's it. Listen to Paul's words on down the line in Galatians in chapter 6. He says, "See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." For Paul, the cross was it. He gloried in the cross. Let's imitate Paul. Let the cross be our glory. Let Christ reign supreme. Let the cross be our only fountain of hope. Nothing that we can bring. As our hymn, as Spurgeon would always, or very frequently quote, "Nothing in my hands I bring. Only to thy cross I cling." Another application or meditation is that there's only one gospel and there's only one way of salvation, and that is Christ presented in the true gospel. We are only to seek salvation in Him, and only to seek that salvation through the gospel that presents Christ. Calvin had a saying. He would say, "Receive Christ," or "Come to Christ as He is clothed in the gospel." What a wonderful saying. Receive the Christ that the portrait of the gospel paints before your eyes. Don't add anything to it. He's enough. We've talked about a couple of distortions of the gospel, which are not true gospels. There's no salvation if we mix our works with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The words of Paul here tell us that we don't start with Christ in the gospel and then we move on to something a little deeper or better. No. The gospel is what we need from start to finish. Galatians chapter 1 verse 3 says, chapter 3 verse 1, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does He who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. We don't begin by faith and by the Spirit and then move on to something else. The whole of our righteousness before God is by Christ and received only by faith. Another thought, and I believe that these words here come from a commentator. The right aim will help us hold on to the right gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. If we have this clear in our minds, we'll be able to hold on to the right gospel. This is the gospel, Christ. That's the gospel that pleases God. And if we seek to please God, that's the gospel we will hold on to. Two more thoughts, and we'll be finished. All throughout this portion of Scripture, you can see that what Paul wants the brethren in Galatia to see is that what he's preaching comes from God and from God alone. Verses 11 and 12, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul wants the brethren to know that the gospel that I am preaching comes from God. So if you desert this gospel, you are deserting God. In what gospel have you believed? Are you trying to add something to Christ? The gospel that comes from God says Christ is enough. He's more than enough. To be made holy, to be made righteous in my presence, Christ is enough. That's the precious teaching that I think saved my own soul. Very simple thought. Being raised in a different kind of a Baptist church, I thought that I could hold on to my sin and I could just get to heaven with a few less rewards. But then when the true gospel began to be come to light in my mind, I began to look to my own faith and then to my own repentance, and I was making saviors out of them. Until one author just very easily laid open 1 John 5:11. If you have Christ, you have life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. The joy of the Lord filled my soul. I believe that that was when God began His work in me. Christ is enough. Trust today. Last thought is a thought for those who are outside of Christ, and also a useful meditation for those who are in Christ. We are all seeking salvation. Some people may tell you that they're not, but they're worshiping something and they're seeking salvation in something. They're seeking something better. They're trying to find it and they just can't find it. That's Christ. Christ is the only one who can forgive your sins. Christ is the only one who can set your record straight before a holy God. Don't seek salvation in anyone else but Him. Seek salvation in Christ and in Christ alone. If you seek salvation in stuff, that stuff will let you down. You'll have to leave it here one day. But Christ, if you have Him, you have Him for eternity. You have God for eternity. You have salvation. Trust in Christ today. Pray with me in your heart. Nothing else I bring. Only to thy cross I cling. Let's come before the Lord once again in prayer. And then we'll be dismissed. Father, we come before you. We see what a dangerous thing it is to tamper with your gospel. We pray that you would bless us. We pray that we would care for that gospel, that we would defend that gospel in our own hearts, in our own lives, in our church. Please, Lord, bless us. We pray that there would be one here today that you would call by your grace to the glorious presence and salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be with us today. Impress these things upon our heart. Make Christ's glory apparent to us. Make Him sufficient for us in our own hearts and in our own minds. It is in Christ's name that we come before you.